أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, we've been given a third night to discuss these issues and try and get ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prepare ourselves for the return of the Imam of the time. Preparing ourselves means we're digging deep and we're making ourselves ready for that grand mission which is on our shoulders. We're supposed to rid the world of tyranny. Rid the world of tyranny. This means building a culture of resistance. Building a culture of resistance is only going to happen when believers know what to expect from God. What to expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there may be some brothers and sisters who are new to our discussions. And first of all, welcome to the program. What we're talking about for these nights so far is this. We are believers and we have accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are intellectually convinced of the veracity of the Quran. That's not a question for us. The thing is, we're wondering what we get back from God if we believe. What are Allah's promises for the believers? You see, brothers and sisters, what happens is, God, we've learned this already, God has already given us all of the talent we need to survive and to do well. I want to share a verse of Quran with you. But first, let's look at this point. God has already given you and I everything we need to succeed. He already has the plan for our lives. We already have enough talent. Our background and our past is not a problem. How we were raised is not a problem. God has given all of that to us, and we're ready to take off. What holds us back? What keeps us from being a powerhouse? Not having hope. We give up on ourselves. Many people never live up to their full potential. They never discover their talents. They settle for being mediocre. Even if they remain on the path of Islam, they're not those believers that the Imam is looking for. And our discussion, our hope was to become those kind of believers who will dig in and benefit from the talents Allah has given us. I want to start off though with a verse of Quran because it's not just my words. What does God say about you and I? This one, brothers and sisters, this verse is from Surah 95, verse number 4. You can look it up later yourselves. When God describes how he's created you, all of us are insan, all of us are human beings. What does God say about human beings? This is what he says over there. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ We created man in the best form. Already, as a believer, yes, the verse does mention after that. Some believers, some people don't use those talents. They destroy themselves. That's something else. But we, as human beings, have been created in the best form. We're already there. We already have all those talents. It's just a matter of now applying what's already there. So what we're trying to do was to look at those divine promises, those things that are there for the believer. And we said there's three conditions. In order for the believer to tap into those resources, there's three conditions. One of the conditions was being intellectually convinced. The second condition was to perform the wajibat and do our duty. Right? The verse of Quran says, and obey Allah and the Prophet, la'allakum turhamun. Obey Allah and the Prophet, maybe God will have mercy. Maybe God will have mercy if you do your wajibat. And accepting all of Islam. But then the question after it was, what do we get? What's in it for us? So I want to cover a new promise of God, because as we know from the Quran, Allah keeps his word. If there's a verse in Quran, you can hold that. You can depend on that. You can live your life based on that. on God's promise. What does God say about himself regarding promises? It says, "Inna Allah la yukhliful mi'ad." God never breaks his promises. If he's promised you in the Quran, 100% you can count on, you can bank on it. So what's God's promise? Brothers and sisters, there's already promises that you and I know. One of them, which is very important, we didn't spend time talking on it, but paradise, everlasting joy, everything we could ever want and imagine. That's one promise. We talked about the idea of God answering our prayers. And we covered one of the adab of dua, which is that I believe Allah's answered my prayer. In addition to that, we also talked about the idea yesterday. God will never give me a test and a responsibility that is greater than I can bear. If I have been given a test and a challenge, I will succeed because I can. God promised me. He does not burden any soul except to the extent of its ability. I can overcome. I can achieve. Today's promise. There's something else that stops mu'mineen and mu'minat from living and flourishing, from having that wonderful relationship with God. There's another thing that holds some believers back. It keeps us from being able to, it's the difference between those who are mediocre and those who excel. One thing that robs us of joy and robs us of hope is sometimes our past. Sometimes our past. There are mu'mineen and mu'minat, people who want to desperately get close to God, to experience that wonderful relationship of being close to him, knowing he's on their side. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu la. But what? I think I've made too many mistakes. I've done dumb things. I've made sometimes terrible sins. I've done terrible sins. Things I'm ashamed of. If other people knew about me, they would hold their heads. They wouldn't look me in the face. Right? And I'm aware of those things, aware of those sins. That guilty feeling, that guilty conscience, the things I know about myself is keeping me from experiencing God's best. And that's not supposed to happen, brothers and sisters. In order for us to experience God's best, brothers and sisters, we're going to look at the promises of God. We don't have to have a perfect past. It's not necessary that I be the perfect mu'min, jazakumullah khairan, that I be the most important mu'min, best mu'min ever in the past, and if that's not there, I can never be at those highest ranks and amongst the best of the best. No, even if I've had a past, I can still experience Allah's best. That's the promise we want to work on. We want to look at the verses of the Quran and remind ourselves about this. This is very important, brothers and sisters. Keep this in mind. Life, as you know, is a long journey. It's a long journey. There are ups and downs in life. If there's a person, think about this. There's a person who's going on a very long trip, but in his mind or her mind, this is in the back of my mind. If I make even one slip, then it's all over. And then let's say the person does slip, because who's perfect? The person does slip. And then now I'm almost obsessed with not making another mistake, because that doesn't even make it worse. I'm so worried. If I make a mistake, it can never be forgiven. I can never, right? A person who's like that, so worried in that way, I can never forget my past. It can never be right. I can never be good. This person will end up abandoning traveling. They weren't going to go on that trip. I'm hopeless about the past, suspicious of the future. No, I probably will make more mistakes. This kind of believer, how will they even travel? What keeps them going? But let's say I knew that my mistakes, no matter what they were, if I make tawbah, if I'm regretful, God can fix it for me. It doesn't have to be that I'm condemned. I've made a mistake and now God got out his marker and he crossed my name off the list. If I knew that, how much hope would I have? If I know that, look, if I make a mistake, I try my best, I get back on the path, God can fix it. I can live, I can experience, I can have that wonderful relationship with him. So that's what we're going to try and cover. Okay? This is something, let me just explain this for brothers and sisters. What I'm explaining, and I'm trying to use simple words, is it something that they talk about in those classes of practical irfan. You know that we have akhlaq and then we have practical irfan, where we're actually being mentored by spiritual teachers. One of the things they tell their students, of course, brothers and sisters, our first job is to try our best not to commit sin. But sometimes it happens. After that, what happens? I'm supposed to pick myself up, dust myself off, continue on the trip, continue on the journey. Right? So we have to go over and make sure that we don't let hopelessness slip in. Because if God, if Shaitan can rob us of hope, we'll never achieve that great future. Question, how much does God love us? Because God knows even good people make mistakes. How much does God love us? How much does God care about us? How happy is he to see that we're trying and we're making effort? Especially in the end of times. You know that right now, look, these are hadith. In the end of times, they come to the Holy Prophet, they talk to the Prophet, they say that, the Prophet says, how much I miss my brothers. They say, your brothers? Aren't we? He says, no, you're my ashab. My brothers, each one of them is worth 50 of you. Who are your brothers? Those people who believe in me, but they've never seen me. They've read about me. Right? You and I, we've never seen. If we were there and we saw Amirul Mu'mineen at Khaybar, who would we be? If we saw our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If we were able to see rahmatan lil alameen, believe me, you and I, we would be different people. Allah knows that. Our Prophet knows that. The Imam knows that. But let's remind ourselves, how much does God love even people who are making mistakes? This hadith, hadith Qudsi, it's talking to Allah, speaking to Dawood, Nabi Dawood. أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ دَاوُودِ God spoke to Dawood. Ya Dawood, لَوْ يَعْلَمَ الْمُدْبِرِينَ عَنِّي كَيْفَ انْتِظَارِ لَهُمْ If those people who are running away from me, sinners, escaping from me, not being good servants, if they knew how انْتِظَارِ You know the word انْتِظَار, how I'm waiting for them. God, for mu'mineen. How I'm waiting for them. وَرِفْقِي بِهَمْ How gentle I am towards them. وَشَوْقِي إِلَيْهِمْ If they knew how much I desire them and how hopeful I was for them, شَوْقِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِهِمْ مَعَاسِي He says, لَمَاتُوا شَوْقًا If they knew how God felt about them, they would have died out of shawq. They would have been so happy that just knowing that God cares that much, that God loves that much. Just knowing, even for sinners. He says, so if that's the case with people who are running away from me, then how do I feel about those who are trying, who are making effort? So brothers and sisters, one of the things we have to keep in mind before we get to the verses of the Quran is the idea that God doesn't keep grudges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't keep grudges. That, no, I remember. Some people are like that. They think God's like that. I heard a story once. They said that once this husband and wife, they were in a bank. They were in a bank. The guy comes in. He has a mask on. And he says, nobody look at me. He's robbing the bank. And then his mask slips. He says, nobody look at me. And one of the bank tellers looks and he shoots that guy. Then he says, anybody else got a look? And one guy, he's keeping his head down. He said, I didn't look, but I think my wife did. So much grudges people keep. We're not supposed to be like that. Actually, if we want Allah's forgiveness, brothers and sisters, this is a principle for getting Allah's forgiveness. Forgive other people. How do you want God to deal with you? Do you want God to always keep, remember every little thing you've, how can I escape from that? Forgive other people. People make mistakes. God knows people. Sometimes they slip. Sometimes they make mistakes. God is so merciful. We have in the verses of Quran, we're looking at the promises of God in the Quran. He is so merciful, he forgives those who've harmed prophets. He get free those who've done major sins, major sins. This is one of the verses of the Quran where God says, again, divine promises, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهُمْ Oh, my servants who've done israf against themselves, who've done excesses, done terrible sins. He says, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope in Allah's mercy. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. God forgives all sins. God forgives all the sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that actually He loves those who make tawbah. People make mistakes. God loves it. He mentions this. He loves it, those who make tawbah. He says, Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. God loves those who turn back to Him. Those who, instead of giving up on God, instead of listening to those people who tell them, you've done too much dirt, instead of giving up on themselves, they still expect good from God. God loves those individuals. He appreciates those individuals. Those people who don't say, it's too late, I can't experience God's goodness. They keep trying. I'll tell you something else too. Sometimes God's willing to let go and you and I aren't. God's willing to be forgiving. He's willing to let it slide. And unfortunately, mu'mineen, remember we talked about this the other day? How you feel about God. We learned this the other day, hadith, that God deals with you based on your expectations from God. The hadith, I didn't mention the scary part last time. It says, if your expectation from God is bad, bad. In khayran fa khayra. If it's good, if you expect good, so sometimes God is willing to forgive. He's willing to let it go. It doesn't have to be this way. But the person, they're suspicious of God. They think bad of God. I want to give you a story of the Ahlul Bayt just for us to get an example. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There was a man in the time of our eighth imam. A terrible man. A man named Jaludi. Jaludi was someone who came on behalf of the Taghut of the time to the house of our imam. And he said that I have been told to take every belonging that you have from your house, including the jewelry on the women. Everything you have. He's standing outside the imam's house. He wants to take everything on behalf of the Taghut of the time. The imam told him, he said, do me a favor. Don't come in the house. That's very disrespectful. I will take everything the women have, even if they have anklets, whatever the women have. But don't do that last disrespectful action. Jaludi said, okay. He waited outside. The imam took everything and gave it to this man. Time passed. Later on, the Taghut of the time, Ma'mun, he had the imam, and now he's making the imam the crown prince. For political reasons, he's announced imam that the imam is going to be the crown prince. The trick was so cunning, some of Ma'mun's inner circle didn't know why would Ma'mun make Imam Ridha, who is trying to be the ruler on behalf of Allah, why would he make him the crown prince? They didn't understand it. Some of them disobeyed Ma'mun. One of them was Jaludi. So they now, Ma'mun says, I make him the crown prince. You have to come out and make bay'ah. He told the first guy, he says, come out and make bay'ah. The guy came out, he said bad things. He said, off with your head. Then Jaludi, they bring him out. Now, the kindness of the imam. The imam, Imam Ridha, is known as Imam who's Ra'uf. What did the imam do? He sees Jaludi get called out. He saw what happened to the other guy just before him. He turns to Ma'mun. He says, Ma'mun, forgive him for my sake. He did one favor for Ahlul Bayt. He didn't come inside the house. Forgive him for my sake. He leans over. He starts whispering to Ma'mun. Jaludi's watching. But he doesn't think good of the imam. He remembers the sin. He thinks the imam keeps grudges. He tells Ma'mun, by the right of your father, whatever he just said, you do the opposite. Ma'mun said, okay, off with his heels. So the Ahlul Bayt, they don't keep the grudges. Allah doesn't keep grudges. Allah says, whoever you are, you're welcome. Come back. I'm waiting for you. That's how Allah wants to. And that's what the believer is supposed to believe. We're going to come to certain ahadith. For instance, one hadith is this. And we have to believe these promises, brothers and sisters. Hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The hadith says this. At-ta'ib min al-dhamb kaman la dhamb lah. The person who makes tawbah from a sin is like the person who has no sin. This is now from the Urafa, when they're explaining to their students and the students of their students. They say that if you've made tawbah, you have to, this is the part, believe Allah's forgiven you. Step outside. Allah's forgiven me for that sin. That sin's over. Allah's forgiven me. Now I can move on. But I have to believe those promises. Not that Allah's still waiting for me. He's going to get me. So you don't have to have a perfect pass in order to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not a condition. You don't have to have that perfect pass. Sometimes those things are internal doubts, like I've just described. Sometimes it's not internal. Sometimes the people we hang around, or sometimes other believers. Sometimes it's bad people who are saying, no, come, we'll continue doing these particular sins. Sometimes other believers, they've seen us, and then they've seen us in a previous life. They discourage us. They tell us it's not worth it. And sometimes we start to believe those doubters. People who tell us you can never be, right? We hear those whispers. And the thing is that sometimes we have to turn a deaf ear to those people. I have to believe those promises of God, believe what the Ahlul Bayt have said, and turn a deaf ear to those people who are discouraging me. There's a story. They said once these frogs were traveling. A group of frogs, they're traveling. The groups of frogs are traveling, and two of the frogs, they fall down in a big hole. And the other frogs are looking at the top, at these little frogs who are down at the bottom, and they tell the frogs, they see the frogs are trying to jump to escape. They're like, you can never make it. First, the frogs ignore them. They keep jumping, trying to get out. And the frogs on top, they're saying, no, you can never make it. You'll never make it. It's too far to jump. Finally, one of the frogs, he listens to those people. He gives up. He falls back. He dies. And the other little frog, he just keeps jumping and jumping and jumping till finally he jumps out of the hole. They said, well, we told you to give up. How come you didn't give up? He said, actually, I'm deaf. I thought you were cheering me on. So sometimes you have to turn a deaf ear to those whispers, right? I believe God's promises. God has said, my past doesn't matter. I can still experience God's best. I don't have to settle for being mediocre. I can still have dreams of being one of those true companions of the Imam. I want to tell you a Quranic story. And then after that, we can see the verses of Quran ourselves. And we'll say, look, God's promises are true. The story is this. I'm going to tell you the story. But first, let's learn the lesson. God can turn your mistakes. You did the wrong thing. God can turn your mistakes around and make your mistakes work for you. Instead of me feeling like, oh, I made too many mistakes. There's no chance for me. No, God can take the mistakes that I've made and still make it work for me. Right? For instance, let's say God had a plan A for my life. And then I made certain terrible decisions. God has a plan B for my life. If I messed up more than once, God has a plan C for my life. He can make it happen. Instead of me going over, no, me limiting God, me saying what God can or can't do. God can change my mistakes and make them work. Now, a story from the Quran, so then you know it's not an inspirational story, it's from the Quran. Nabi Musa, as you know, brothers and sisters, he was the promised one. People were waiting for him. He had been promised from the time of Nabi Yusuf. There's going to be this promised one, this savior. So imagine somebody who is going to be the savior, going to be the leader, going to be the one who rescues people from Fir'aun. Nabi Musa, we learn, when he's around 18 years old, he made a serious mistake. And this doesn't mean prophets are not infallible. We know that, right? But according to the Quran, I'm going to read you the verses. What Nabi Musa says. Nabi Musa made a mistake. Nabi Musa accidentally killed a man. The man was a zalim, but Nabi Musa didn't mean to kill him. He accidentally killed him. So imagine having a murder on your record, running from the authorities. God made him a prophet. I want to look the words of Nabi Musa so we get inspiration. What did Nabi Musa say after he killed this man? قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Oh Allah, I have oppressed myself. I made a mistake. It's true, it's not a sin, but it wasn't something wise. I shouldn't have done that. My plan was that I was going to be the savior. Now my plan has taken a different choice, a different twist. Rabbi, inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. As soon as he makes the mistakes, he asks Allah for forgiveness. What happens immediately after that? فَغَفَرَ اللَّهُ. God forgave him. A serious mistake. God immediately forgave him. Now, that's not what I'm concentrating on, brothers and sisters. God can take your mistake and make that work in your favor. Years pass. 10 years later, Nabi Musa, at least 10 years later, Nabi Musa is traveling with his family. They're going into a valley, the valley where revelation is going to come down. I want you to look at the words that God uses. Those are important. So Nabi Musa is traveling. I made that mistake. I ran away. I went to another land. God says, when he comes back through the valley, he has a conversation with him. He tells him about all those different mistakes, the things, the favors he gave them. Then he says this, ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرٍ يَا مُوسَىٰ. He says, Musa, you came at the exact right time. All of those other things I factored in, including your mistake, and you came to me at the exact right time. So God can take our mistakes and twist them around so that we end up being beneficial to the cause. Now, there's something I shared with brothers and sisters earlier, maybe yesterday. It was a dua that we're supposed to make at Fajr that lets us know how hopeful we're supposed to be as believers. I want to share the dua again, but then after that, let's remember how hopeful we're supposed to be. I'm going to give you a true example. The dua was this. We say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِن كُنْتُ عِنْدَكَ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ شَقِيًّا. O Allah, if in that book, فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ, you've written me down as one of the people who's shaqi, who's wretched, a sinner, hellbound. If that's the case for me, we say this every day, فَجْعَلْنِي سَعِيدًا. Make me one of those people who's blessed and lucky. Now the true story is this. There was a woman who was a prostitute and became one of the urafa. How merciful is God? How many mistakes can people... And she turned her life around. Now they've written books. She's in books. It's how much do I believe Allah's promises? Do I believe Allah will accept me? Do I believe Allah cares about me? Do I believe Allah will give me a second chance? So, of course, the Ahlul Bayt, they've given us strategies. Let's say I do. I say, okay, that's true. I do want to change myself. I do want to better myself. What have the Ahlul Bayt then said? How do I change? There's steps to it. There's steps to it. The first one that we're going to talk about is the idea of not being arrogant or militant about committing a sin. The Imam says, no one escapes from the sin illa man aqarra bih, except that person who admits that, no, it's wrong. God said something else. I have to do that. That's what God expects me. So the first step is actually admitting. The second step is this. Brothers and sisters, we're different from the animals. We're different from the plants. If we want to go to God, we have to choose Allah willingly. It has to be our choice. We have to choose God. Once the Imam was walking. He was walking and he saw there was music coming out of the house. People were partying. They were having a great time. A girl who's working in the house comes out. She's emptying the garbage. The Imam sees her and she walks past. The Imam asks her a question. He says, is the owner of this house a free man or a slave? Is the owner of this house a free man or a slave? And the girl says, well, he's a free man. Slave? What are you talking about? He has slaves. Mom said, I thought so. He keeps going. She goes back in the house. When she goes back in the house, the guy says, it took a little longer. What happened? He said, it's interesting. There was a guy who was walking in the street. He asked me a question. He said, is the owner of this house a free man or a slave? The guy understood. I have to choose God.
He got up from drinking alcohol, came running down in the streets, goes running after the imam. No, I'm a slave. We have to choose God. We have to choose God. If I want to choose God, then what? Brothers and sisters, that condition that I mentioned, the true condition for Tawbah is to feel regret. To feel regret. I'm not happy with what I did. It's not okay in my mind. I don't justify it. I feel regret. Secondly, istighfar. With the tongue. To go over and do that. So, the thing is, when we're doing this, there are other things we have to keep in mind too. Sometimes going back to God, being reunited with God, experiencing God's best, means that I have to change those people I hang around with. If somebody recently gets released from jail, one of the things they tell the person who's recently released from jail is don't hang out with your homies. If I come out of jail, I go back to hang out with my homies, then for sure I'm going to commit sins again. The same old lifestyle. I have to change that. Now, there's something else that I'd like to mention too. Another little part. Sometimes, we talked about the idea of making mistakes. Right, that I don't have to have a perfect past in order to experience God's best. There's something else that comes to certain believers, and I want to address that. Sometimes it's not the past in that way that I've made certain mistakes. Sometimes I'm paralyzed by fear of making a mistake other than a sin. There's some people who are careful. Careful people, but they never get a chance to experience God's best because they're always careful, always afraid they're going to slip up, always afraid they're going to mistake. We're not talking about a sin. In other areas of life, well, now is the time. Open a new business. For instance, now is the time for you to open a business. Take a chance. Trust in God. Start. No, I'll play it safe. I always played it safe. I'll stay safe. I'm never going to experience God's best, though. Because the believer is supposed to have trust in God. There are times you have to take risks for God. We're talking about in our personal lives. I'm talking about preparing us to serve Imam Mahdi. To be able to live and say that this is my responsibility. I recognize my responsibility. I'm going to do it. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe Allah's going to help me. So some people, the reason they don't experience God's best is that they're too afraid to make a mistake. This also goes back to not believing God's on my side. I want to introduce you to a concept, brothers and sisters. We have a section of a hadith. They're talking about this concept. The section of hadith, if you want to look it up in our hadith, it's called Rizq La Yuhtasab. Unexpected rizq. Unexpected rizq. So, how hopeful is the believer supposed to be when it comes to making mistakes, when it comes to issues? Should I be afraid to make a decision? Paralysis by analysis. I overthink everything. I can't make any decision about anything. You know the problem then? Some people say, well, I'll fix that. You know how I'll fix it? Istikhara. Istikhara. God will tell me. Examples. Different examples. One that happens a lot. A brother and sister want to get married. Alhamdulillah. This brother seems like he has all the right traits. Alhamdulillah. But in my family, we always check to do istikhara. Because then if we do istikhara, we'll see into the future. And we'll know. So we do istikhara. And the istikhara comes out bad. Then like, Sheikh, how can I fix it? What is this? This is one example. There's other examples, brothers and sisters. I'm supposed to be able to trust in God. God's going to look out for me. If I did my part, that's enough. Let God help me. There's actual verses of the Quran that our Ahlul Bayt have talked about where they explain you're not supposed to know the future. You're not supposed to know the future. God wants you to go and base your life with certain uncertainties. You're not going to see everything until the end. With those uncertainties, trust in me as God. Do your part, leave it up to me. Unexpected risk. Live a little. How? This hadith is from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Our Imam says this. He says that his father would say, his father said this, if it wasn't for one verse in the Quran, I would tell you the past, the present. I would tell you all these things. I know I can tell you. You're not supposed to know. If it wasn't for this verse, I'd tell you these things. The mu'min isn't supposed to know. Life is supposed to have uncertainties. We're supposed to trust in God. We're supposed to try our best and then let God give us that unexpected rizq, that unexpected help. So now, the verses. And this is going to help us live, to not be paralyzed, to be able to make a decision. Brothers and sisters, a couple of things to keep in mind. One of them, you and I, as mu'mineen and mu'minat, there is no exception to using aql. There is no exception to calculating. What are the benefits? What are the harms? Where do my interests lie? There's no, I'll just make dua, I'll sit down, God will just help. No, no, no. We do our taklif, we do our responsibility, we do everything we can. We apply what we know of Ahlul Bayt. But then there comes a time when I don't see everything. I see enough to be able to make a decision. At that time, I'm supposed to step out in faith. I've seen enough. Now my tawakkul comes in. And then when I make tawakkul, if I'm making a mistake, after tawakkul, God will fix it. So, ayat from the Quran. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Whoever trusts in God, God will be sufficient for you. God won't break your arms and legs. He sees you're trying. I'm looking based on what you've told me. I'm trying my best. Now it's me and you, God. Now live a little, let God take your hand. The unexpected risk is a little further down in that same verse. It says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, whoever does their responsibility, no matter what their past, God will open a way for them. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. What else? وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. God will provide from this person from where they didn't expect. I mentioned on the first day, God is unconventional, especially with mu'mini. He wants your faith to be tested. From areas you didn't expect help, he'll give you help. Now I want to share a hadith, a dua with you to make in these times when it's difficult. This is a hadith I heard from the first time from the leader. After that, I looked it up. I found out this is one of the hadith that's the dua of Imam Mahdi. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. What is this dua? I'm going to say it in Arabic, brothers and sisters, and translate it. It gives us the idea of how hopeful, how expectant we should be from Allah, how much help I should expect, how many doors I should expect Allah to open. This is what the hadith says. Ya man, idha tadayaqatil umur. Oh, he, we're addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, he, when things become impossible, إِذَا تَضَايَقَتِ الْأُمُورِ, things become unimaginable. I can't fix this. I can't help this. إِذَا تَضَايَقَتِ الْأُمُورِ, what does the verse say? فَتَحَ لَنَا بَابًا. God, you open a door for us. لَمْ تَذْهَبْ إِلَيْهِ الْأَوْحَامِ, a door that no human being could imagine. Things become difficult, impossible. There's no way out of this. And then you open a door that no human being could open and no human being could even imagine. And then it continues. فَصَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدْ وَافْتَحْ لِأُمُورِ الْمُتَضَايِقَ بَابًا لَمْ يَذْهَبْ إِلَيْهِ الْأَوْحَامِ. He says that, send blessings on Muhammad and Ali Muhammad and open a door for me that no human being has imagined. So back to that original point. Brothers and sisters, when we talk about self-confidence in Islam, it's different to self-confidence in the West. When we talk about believing your abilities in Islam, it's very different to what Westerners say. We're both using the words. I'm using self-confidence, they're using self-confidence. What does self-confidence mean in Islam? We're going back to how much, if we apply ourselves, how much do I expect God to step in and make miracles happen through me? One hadith and we'll end this. Inshallah, the Messiah. Luqman. He was asked. The angels asked Luqman. They said, do you want that Allah make you a khalifa in the earth? God's representative. Do you want that responsibility? So much good can come out of that. Do you want that? Are you willing to take that? He said, no, it depends. He said, if you leave it up to me, then no, I don't want it. But if God wants it for me, then definitely I'll do it. What is the difference with you believing, taking that chance, that leap of faith, if God is on your side or you want it? He says, if God wants me to do it, he'll protect me and he'll help me. If I'm doing God's work, God will do it through me. All I have to do is my part. I literally expect unexpected help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, we're able to be like that. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.